confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't want to think, I may never understand, that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt and these four words: Thy will be done, Thy will be done, Thy will be done.
By the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I gotta stop, remember that you're God and I am not so. Thy will be done, Thy will be done, Thy will be done. Like a child on my knees, all that comes to me is Thy will be done, Thy will be done, Thy will.
I know you see me, I know you hear me, Lord, your plans are for me.
Amen. Beautiful singing, ladies, and what a powerful message that song has. I know that you've already recognized we're moving away from the book of James this morning, and the reading was found in the book of Acts, so I want to ask you to turn there with me today, and in a moment we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, so I'd encourage you to do that, whether you're carrying your Bible with you or your Bible app on your phone, or maybe your iPad, that you'll follow along with us as we study the Word of God together. These have been exciting days for me to come from Florida back to Texas. You know, it's also been exciting for me not to have to explain this Texas accent to so many people. People in the congregation that are visiting in Florida, they wonder, now, are you from North Carolina? Or where are you from? What is that accent? Well, it's just good to be back in Texas, and even if this is a deep East Texas accent, you've not made fun of it, and so I'm just grateful to be back here. But it's also been a joy for me to be able to join you in the work that God is doing here, not only in Glen Rose, but across the face of the earth. And that really is our vision of reaching Glen Rose and the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you begin to think about that, God has been at work preparing hearts and preparing lives. And He continues to do that in so many various ways. We've had great additions over the last 3.5 months, and God has brought people here who have been in the community and those who've moved into the community. And He's bringing us together for a real purpose. And as we believe, that purpose is not only to reach Glen Rose and this area, this region with the gospel of Christ, but the entire world with the message and the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this morning, I want to talk with you specifically, as I've been sharing with our deacons and our staff, what God has been laying upon my heart as a kind of strategy for accomplishing His purpose as He plans to use each one of us in the days ahead to minister and to reach and to touch and to make an impact until Jesus comes again. Now, when we talk about doing that, I want to talk about the development of people and how we help one another make progress within the church. So often as we see people come and join the church and become active, they may be active for a while, but unless they connect with a Bible fellowship or with a small group or somewhere along the way, if they're just depending upon a worship service or maybe some other outside activity to stay connected and to get involved, sooner or later, they will begin to drift rather than make progress, rather than growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, rather than becoming fully developing followers of Jesus Christ. And I think you would agree with me this morning, that's exactly what we want to become. Not just some kind of cookie cutter church where, you know, we've seen another church and maybe we want to be exactly like that church. But to recognize that God has given uniqueness to this church. That God has given uniqueness to the people of God who are the First Baptist Church of Glen Rose. And that God has greater plans than any of us could ever begin to imagine when you and I are willing to be fully committed to His purposes and to His plans for our individual lives. But when we begin to talk about being strategic sometimes, we have an idea that that's something that's simply mechanical, rather than realizing that it is an overlay, a framework of what can help us to be more for the Lord Jesus Christ than possibly we could have ever thought that we could be for His honor and for His glory. Now, you have an outline in your bulletin, and I want you to follow along with me this morning because I want to share in this message, as we look at the book of Acts, I think every one of us would agree that Acts is really a book of missions or a guidebook for missions for the 21st century. From the first century on through, God has planned it that way. Sometimes Acts is referred to as the Acts of the Apostles. But in reality, it is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because when you begin to look at these early followers of Jesus Christ, they were men and women much like you and me. But they were committed and they were intentional about the call of Christ in their lives. You cannot read very far in this book without realizing that God is very intentional. And He was very intentional in communicating to these earlier followers His plan and His purpose for their lives while they remained in this world. And believe it or not, I've been asked many times by people who would just simply say, well, you know, why does God keep us here? After He saves us, why do we just simply have to remain here? Why can't we just go on and be with the Lord? Well, obviously, as we read the pages of Scripture, God has a love for the world. I'm thankful that this church has a love not just for this region, but a love for the world. Because that's where the heart of God is.
God's heart beats to see men and women and young people who are outside of Him come to know Him as a personal Lord and a personal Savior. And while there are plenty here in Glen Rose, and plenty in Texas, and plenty in America, there are also plenty in the world. And as you recognize these flags that are representative of countries where this church has sent missionaries, people who were willing to go on short-term efforts because they recognized, they heard the call of God in their life, and they recognized that God had a plan and a purpose in their individual lives. I want you to notice point number one, the promise of power supplied. You find it in verse 8, verse 8a, the promise of power that is supplied. Follow me as I read this. The scripture says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This is the promise of Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through verse 32, where Joel said that the Holy Spirit of God would come upon His people. It would be poured, He would be poured out upon all flesh. And as we look at this scripture, earlier in verse 1, early in chapter 4 and verse 1, the admonition is that these early followers wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're here waiting today for some reason and some circumstance, you get a little bit of idea when the Word of God tells these early followers to wait on the promise of the Holy Spirit to fall. Now that promised Holy Spirit was going to come, and He was going to come in power. He was going to come in power on the hearts and lives of those believers, those who had placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, because they were the ones who were going to carry out this mission. But they could not carry out this mission in and of themselves. They might have been intellectually well, they might have been well studied, they might have been experienced in life. They're just a variety of things that they could have shared with. But they needed the Spirit of the living God to fall upon their lives. So God promises that He's going to send His Spirit. It's not going to be by our own strength. You know, sometimes we kind of have the idea that we will just move along and we will build the church. And there possibly are some churches that have been built in human effort, but they're not making a lot of impact for the kingdom's sake. They're not bearing fruit that is going to remain. They may make every effort to try to follow religious rules. They may make every effort on their own to try to present a setting that is spiritual, but without the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives empowering them, that work was not going to complete the work that Christ had called them to. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it's Simon Peter's great confession when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "I will build my church." You see, it's not you and me that are just in a sense of human effort are going to build the church of the living God, whether it is here in this community or around the world, but it is under the power of God's Spirit, under the gifting of God, that He uses human instrumentality. You and me, who may feel at times totally powerless, who may feel very inadequate at doing the work of God, but God says, "I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon you. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses." Now, is there any misunderstanding about Jesus' intentionality in this? He didn't say, "I'm going to build my church and it'll just be whatever the world wants it to be." He didn't just say, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God and He's going to fall upon you and you can act any way you want to act. No. He said, I'm going to fill you with the Spirit and you are going to be my witnesses. So you see in point number one, the power, the promise of the power that is supplied. But in the second part of that verse, point number two, the plan of communication that is stated. Look at it again. You're going to be my witnesses. Interesting to note that we get our English word martyr from this Greek word witness. And it is usually applied to someone who has died for their faith. But a martyr is a confessor. One who is convinced of a truth and yields their heart and their life to that truth as a follower of Jesus Christ. These early disciples were witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And their belief was that if transformation is going to come to a life, it is going to come through none other than the person of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and lived a sinless life, who sacrificed Himself on Calvary's cross in order to atone for the sins of the world, who was crucified on that cross, who really and truly died on that cross, who was buried, and then on the third day He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's what the apostles believed. That's what these early disciples believed. That's what changed their lives. That is why they became witnesses. They became martyrs, willing to give up whatever was necessary in order to communicate this message, this clear message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was the clear assignment that God gave to them. And I want you to look at this real closely. Because He didn't say to them, I want you to stay in Jerusalem where it's real comfortable and you don't have to get outside of people that you don't know anything about. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to go to Judea. I want you to go to Samaria. I want you to go to the furthest parts of the earth. Now look at this with me very closely. Jerusalem represents our Glen Rose region. Not just this city proper, but the region that surrounds us. You and I, as people of God at First Baptist Church, are to be witnesses. Witnesses of things not only that we've believed about Christ, but what we've received from a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're to be witnesses in Jerusalem. And then He says, Judea, what does that have to do? Judea is Texas, so to speak. We're to be witnesses not only in Glen Rose, we're to be witnesses also in the state of Texas. And then He says Samaria, which is America. It's a larger region. Our circle of influence continues even broader. It's to be in America. But then He says to the furthest parts of the earth or to the world. In other words, this church is to be a lighthouse and a witness of the things of Jesus Christ, not only right here where we are, but wherever the Lord may send us. And He is still in the sending business. It's not just full-time vocational people who commit themselves to go overseas, as you know that very well. But wherever the Lord may send us. But you have to start somewhere. If we're not doing it right here in this Jerusalem, right here in Glen Rose, chances are we're not going to take the effort to go even beyond as the Lord may lead us to do so. But He says in point number two, the plan of communication, it's stated, be witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. And then notice number three. The period of activity is set. And you look at it in verse 11. He said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven. In other words, the message is very clear to them. There's a set period of activity that's to take place as far as this witnessing is to be concerned. And you and I who name the name of Christ are to work till Jesus comes. We're to be witnesses until Jesus comes. And I love this because he's standing there in verse 11 and he says to them, "Why are you standing around looking up into heaven?" They've just seen Jesus ascend into heaven. It's a glorious occasion for them. But he's saying to them, "Get busy. Get busy." You see, for you and me, the work of the church is not done while a group of people are just standing around. It's not done while even we're just strategizing about what we may need to do or what we think we need to be doing. It's being done as we go. That's the message. As we go, we are to be making disciples and we're to be utilizing in every sense how God chooses to use us to impact this community and beyond. I begin by talking about making progress. Begin by saying some things about how you and I can be brought into the fellowship of the church and how we can become fully devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask Larry and Brad to put this strategy up so that you can see it very clearly, because it's a very, very simple strategy, but it is necessary for us to understand. You're going to be seeing a framework by which you and I are not only committed to ministry, but by which our planning, our praying, our efforts, what we announce, what programs, what ministries are going to be a part of, so that as we do so, we know we're progressing. We're moving forward in the work of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first word is the word connect. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 12. And I want to read verse 29 through verse 31 of Mark chapter 12. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. It says, "Jesus answered, 'The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Why is that first word connect so important? Because what we want to see more than anything else is men and women and young people connecting with God. Interestingly enough, I read a recent survey that talked about why people who are unchurched choose a church. You know, many of us have thought for some time that it has to do with music. It has to do with a relaxed style or tradition. We put all of those things into the equation and we think that people on the outside of the church are looking at those things. And if they see those things, then that's what's going to attract them to the church. This particular survey simply said to you and to me that what's attracting to people outside the church is believers that are connected to God. That they're going to come to a house of worship and not necessarily be entertained or go through the motions, but they're going to sense that there is a connection with the living God. That God is at work in the hearts of His people. That God is doing things in and through their individual lives. You see, while we sit in these four walls and we think about what would be attractive to each one of us, there's a world outside that is lost and separated from God, and they don't understand what it is that we may be trying to do, but they do understand when they see it. They do understand when they come and they sense God at work in a place. I said just a moment ago, God's heart is for the world, and I believe that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says that God has written eternity in our hearts. Did you know that? Did you know inside you, maybe you've heard this, that there's a God-shaped vacuum? And that cannot be filled up with anything except God. God created you. He created every one of us. There are no accidents here today. He created us for a purpose and for a plan. We may look at one another and we may not understand God's creation, but note this, you're uniquely made. God was at work forming you in the womb. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life and for mine. And there's a hunger in every one of our hearts to know Him. We try to fill this vacuum up with money. We try to fill it up with pleasure. We try to fill it up with a variety of things that surround us. But it still leaves us empty. Oh, things can, they can provide a temporary happiness, but they cannot fulfill the life, and they cannot give peace that only God can give. When we talk about connecting, we're talking first of all about connecting with the living God in a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, we're talking about connecting with one another. You look at the New Testament in the book of Acts, and you see a group of brothers and sisters bonding together and sharing together. There was some uniquenesses there also. Realize that. But the one thing that characterized their lives is that they were unified. The Spirit of the living God didn't move in disunity. And one of the greatest disadvantages to churches today is division in the church, where the Spirit of God is grieved. And the Spirit of God cannot move in the hearts and lives of people. But you connect people with the living God, and then you connect them with a body of believers who are the church. People who, yes, they're not perfect people, but people who love one another. People who are willing to encourage one another. People who are able to do life together. And that's really what this is about. How many people today that you know are isolated? They're lonely. They may be in a crowd, but there's an emptiness. There's an emptiness in their life. They need togetherness. They need to know the love and the relationship that comes where the Bible says, love one another even as I have loved you. When we talk about strategy, when we talk about planning, are we planning things that are going to connect people to God and to our church and to one another? Or are we just devising another program that's going to run its course? And then when it's over with, we're not going to see the kind of fruit that will remain. Second word that I want you to notice is the word grow. And the passage of Scripture is found in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to commit ourselves not only to connect with God, but we want to grow in relationship with God. And growing in relationship with God means that we're going to grow in His Word. Every time you come on Sunday morning, you're going to see me or you're going to hear me open God's Word and preach a message from the Word of God. Our Bible fellowship leaders are committed to teaching the Bible. Yes, small groups are important for fellowship and encouraging each other. But listen, we need to know what God's Word says. Not just fill our minds intellectually with the Word of God, but let God's Word transform us. Let God's Word remold us and make us and shape us into what He's called us to be. If we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be accomplishing a purpose. Again, it's not just simply entertaining. It's not just simply going through the motions. It's hearing a clear word from God's Word. If we ever lived in a day and a time, and I know we have throughout generations, but there needs to be a clear word today. What does God say? And there needs to be clear messengers that are willing to stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." We need to hear from God. Thirdly, I want you to notice the word serve. Look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11. It says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplied, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and forever. Amen." Serve. Connect. Grow. Serve. Our commitment is to help those coming to be a part of this family, not only to understand their giftedness, but their passion. What kind of gift has God given to you to minister? There are several places within the Scripture at the listing of spiritual gifts, but let me just say simply that if you know Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, you have a spiritual gift. And God has not just given you that gift so that you can sit on that gift and enjoy it, or maybe even misuse it, but rather so that you can use whatever gift it is that God has given to you to be a ministering part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. A ministering part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've often heard people say, "Well, you know, they wouldn't miss me. If I'm not there, they don't miss me. If I don't volunteer or follow the leadership of the Lord where He wants me to plug in and serve, they won't really miss me." Oh, yes, we will. Oh, yes, we will. And if God has called you here to be a part, listen to me, He's called you here because you have giftings that are needful so that this body of Christ can function as a complete body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that God gives ample gifts and abilities, talents, and even resources for every church that names the name of Jesus to be able to accomplish the mission that He's called them to if they will depend upon Him, if they will look to Him. You know, a lot of people have the idea, "Well, our church could not do that. Or, you know, we're just a small band of people. We could never do that." Who's to say what you cannot do? We're here to look to God. We're here to look to God for strength. And by the way, looking to God for strength may bring some uncomfortableness to you and me. Sometimes we need to get uncomfortable. Amen? Amen? Sometimes we do need to get uncomfortable. Now, I'm not just suggesting to you that we just go out and try to make everybody uncomfortable. You know what that'll do. I'm not saying that, so don't go out of here today and say, "Well, the preacher just wants to make everybody uncomfortable." That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that if we want to be a 21st century church reaching people for the glory of Jesus Christ, change must be a part of our DNA. We can't just lock on to everything that we've always done and just assume that's what we're going to do until Jesus comes again. We must be willing to let the Holy Spirit lead. Let the Holy Spirit guide us. But we must have willing hands that plug into these areas of need so that God can get the glory. What happens many times is that there's just a handful of people that are carrying the ministry. And by that, I mean not that they're totally on their shoulders. Obviously, God's at work, but there's a lot of other people that are just warming the bench. The good thing about this is God doesn't have any bench warmers in His church. You know that? Everybody gets to be in the game. Everybody gets to be a part. Everybody gets to share in the glory of God. Everybody gets to be His witness. Connect, grow, serve, and then finally, go. You know that there's a go in the gospel, don't you? You know that. There's a go in the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and verse 20, Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to baptize those who believed and to make disciples of all nations. When we look at what we're doing and what we're planning, we're talking about getting outside the walls of this church and making a difference for Jesus Christ, not only in this community, but across the face of the earth. Remember Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the furthest ends of the earth. But folks, it starts in a strategy when I'm willing to say, I'm going to go right here. And that may mean just simply walking across the room in your home to talk to somebody about Jesus. That may mean walking across the street. That may mean sharing with somebody in school. That may mean talking to somebody at an established business. As you have the opportunity to do that, you become Christ's witness in the world. But not just in the sense that you're going to share Jesus with them, but that you're going to connect them to a local church where they can begin to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads in prayer with me this morning. And as you bow your heads in prayer, and we've had just a brief overview, just a brief, of God's working. God has already been at work in this church. And He's continuing to work in your heart, in my heart, to lead us to be a church that continues to be on mission. Right here and the furthest parts of the earth. But more than anything else, we need God's power. We need the Spirit of God to fall afresh and anew. So I'm going to ask you to pray that this morning. To pray for God's Spirit to fall on your life, on my life, on this church. And while we pray, there may be those here today who simply need to make a commitment to Christ. Or maybe to join this church. Maybe God's leading you to be a part of this fellowship. Just to plug in here and begin to serve and work and grow with us. Or maybe just to recommit your life to the Lord. Father, in these moments we pray that Your Spirit would fall afresh and anew. Fall on us, O Holy Spirit, and use us, cleanse us, forgive us, and use us as Your witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen.